Now, I want you to bear with me because I'm going to use this phrase. And don't start thinking, well, because the phrase is this, the gospel. The engine for missions. The gospel is what drives missions. Now, for those of you that get very, very technical, well, you know, you don't really need an engine in a car, because if you're in a car with no engine, you're on a hill, you could still move that car. And you might get a little technical and be like, well, you know what? It's really not the engine, it's the battery. Battery is what moves the car. Well, it's really not the battery or the engine, it's gas. If there's no gas, this car is not going to move. Just for the sake of this service of my sermon today, missions, the engine for mission, or the gospel, the engine for missions. Because this is where we find the power. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we'll go there real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. You may be seated. Now, I found this picture on Facebook, and of course, there was a video, but I got this image in slide one, please. this guy got lucky, and he found two vehicles, the front ends, and they are, this is not a Photoshop, this is real, it moves. There's a video on Facebook, so just, search truck with the front end and back end, and you'll find it. Anyway, he drives around, and he says that one day he was driving, he was just kind of sad, down and out, and he said everywhere he drove, there were smiles on people's faces, taking pictures, and he's like, man, what's, I'm just driving my truck, but he's driving this, and so, but I saw that video, and I thought, there's a lot of people living their Christian life, not sure which way they're going. Not sure, I mean, the gospel. It is the power unto salvation. We have the answer, and yet we don't know whether we're coming or going. We don't know if whether we're going in the right direction. Listen, it is the gospel of God which saved us. That is the power unto salvation. And yet we keep it hidden sometimes. That shouldn't be. So which way are you going? So the gospel is the good news. The good news is that Jesus saves. Anybody remember newspapers? All right, okay, hands up. Okay, all right. So you remember newspapers, and then the newspapers was what? News, information, right? So the gospel is the power unto salvation. The gospel was and still is the driving force of missions. Now, I just want to go to verse 16 again. And of course, the Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." And I thought about this, and I was convicted this weekend. We went to church ministries conference, and I was convicted because he was talking about how we as Christians, if we're afraid to go into the projects, if we're afraid to go into a store and share Jesus, what does that say about the power or the gospel that we know? If we're more afraid of the things of what can happen to us in sharing Jesus than he himself who's in us, what does that say? And so I thought, Lord, real quick, if someone was to say, "Pastor, are you ashamed of the gospel?" No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm a pastor. I preach the gospel. Well, where do you take the gospel? Well, I take it to where don't you take the gospel? So this stuff was going in my mind. I thought, man, Lord, forgive me. Can I be ashamed of the gospel? If the Holy Spirit was to tell you, go to one of the truck stops on the way home, stop, and the first three people you see, share your testimony to them, how many of you in this room will go do that? How many of you will be timid? Will use the excuse, "Well, I'm just timid, God. I'm just too shy." No excuse. How many of you would say, "I'm afraid"? No excuse. How many of you say, I wouldn't know what to say. Well, what happened to you? How did you come to know Jesus Christ? And so whatever excuse you come up with not sharing the gospel, your testimony, to three people at some truck stop here in Camden County, maybe you'll come down to the same conclusion. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be ashamed of you. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel, the same good news that saved me, the same good news that came to my ears, my eyes, that caused me to see I need a Savior because my sin was sending me to hell. Anybody remember that day? I hope for some of you it was today when you realized, you know what? It is not well with my soul. It is not well with my mind that if Jesus was to come in the next few seconds, that, I mean, I didn't even plan that. That was just the Holy Spirit telling me to have you guys raise your hand for those of you that are not sure. I didn't even know that we were going to be singing the song. So it was all what the Holy Spirit was doing this morning. It's not in my notes. I had no idea what songs they were playing. Is it well? And if it wasn't well for you this morning, I pray to God that you responded to what the Holy Spirit was saying and you raised your hand and you said, God, it really, really wasn't well with my soul, but I want it to be. I surrender my life to you. Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. God, help me to live for you. I want to be able to sing this song honestly and truthfully. It is well with my soul. I'd like to give you a book if that's any of you in this room that you actually said that. You know, I want to give you just it's a new beginner devotional book, and I want to be able to give that to you. Because if we just say you raised your hand and then we don't give you any tools, well, what good is the gospel that we're talking about if we don't help you follow the gospel and live according to the gospel? Because that prayer, I tell you what, I have a lot of religious family, and I know it's being recorded, but that's okay. I have a lot of religious people in my family who said a prayer or just say Our Father or a couple of Hail Marys, and they think, I'm good. You're not good. You're not good until you know the good news that Jesus saves and you live according to that. So in verse 16, it says, for it, what is it? The gospel. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Now that word power, what power? What kind of power? God's kind of power. And that word power is dunamis in the Greek, which is the same word that we get when we read Acts chapter 1 verse 8. For it is the power of God. I mean, it's the power that will come upon you to be his witnesses. Can everybody just shout out dynamite? Now, for those of you that remember, you know, JJ, dynamite. Okay, I didn't get anybody. Dynamite. That's the power. That's where we get the word dynamite from, dunamis. That Greek word. It is the gospel that is the dunamis, the dynamite power of God for salvation, to salvation, toward salvation. It is the ability, the power, the strength, the mighty, wonderful work of God that brings people to salvation for everyone who believes, not for everyone who hopes, everyone who guesses, for everyone who believes. The gospel is the power. So the gospel is the driving force. Without the good news, a missionary would not. Why would a missionary sell his house, sell his car, and take all of his kids and all of his belongings to Africa, to Asia, to wherever, to share what? If there's no gospel, if there's no good news, what are they going to share? Hey, you know, the gas back in the United States has gone up to $2.85 a gallon. That's not the good news that saves lives. Hey, you know what? A gallon of milk is $3.56 with your Go Blue card at Flash Foods. How is that going to affect the life of someone in the mountains in Asia? That's not going to save them. That's not going to be eternal truth if they just share some news about United States. No, the missionaries go share the news of Jesus Christ, the good news, which is the gospel, because it is the dynamite power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Show slide 2, because I want us to just see that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. That it's big, it's in big letters, because it is the power. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Now go to the next slide, slide 3. You see, because the gospel is for everyone, therefore every single one of us needs to find someone else who doesn't know to share this gospel. Now you might say, well, what do I share? Well, what is the gospel doing for you? What has the gospel done for you? What do you know about the gospel? Well, I don't really know too much. Well, then let's go ahead and have some Bible studies. Open up your Bible, bring your Bible, bring a pen, get some paper, and start writing notes. And then go over those notes. Study. For those of you that work at a certain company, or whether it's a factory, whether it's a business, whether it's a lawyer or a doctor, you got to learn the how-tos of doing your job. That had to happen somehow, whether you were trained. They didn't just throw you in a cubicle and say, all right, get to work. Well, what do I do? How do I do it? Even answering the phones, they got to have some kind of a phrase of what to say. Hey, good morning. This is such and such. Acme Motors. How can we help you? I mean, you had to been given some information. And the more you do it, the more you apply it, the more you apply yourself to that job, the better you are. Hopefully you become employee of the month. Any of those people, they just didn't wake up one morning and bam, they became the employee. They gave themselves to that position and they learned. We need to understand what the gospel is for everyone. Therefore, what is the gospel doing for me? And if it's doing for me, it could be doing something for someone else. Everyone needs saving. Everyone needs Jesus. I need Jesus. Lord knows I need him. I need him every day. Therefore, missions is our responsibility. Notice I said our responsibility. In it, the gospel, it says in verse 17, for in it, the righteousness of God. In the gospel, you will find the righteousness of God. You will find righteous living. You will find the right way of living. This is what, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, this is what we're to be seeking first. The kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And where do we find this? In the gospel and the good news. It is God's righteousness. And this is what helps us to continue to follow God's plan, God's desire, God's heart. God reveals himself and his salvation through his truth and through faith in his truth. How are we going to know what truth is if we don't read it? How are we going to know what truth is if we don't apply it and walk in it? If you don't apply it, you're not going to know if it works well for you. You're not going to understand how to apply it, how to use it, how to draw back to it when you have a problem. You're not going to know what scriptures to pull up, what scriptures to hold on to, what scriptures to just continue to say over and over in your mind when all of your world around you feels like everything's crashing. You have no reserve. You have nothing to come back to if you don't know what the gospel says. So it's important that we understand what the gospel says and to find God's truth and apply his truth. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? If you have faith in any other thing other than the good news, other than the gospel, it will not affect you for eternity. In heaven. In heaven. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in God's word. Faith in God. You can live justly in any other way. And if you do, you will not find the kingdom of God. But if you live your life justly, justly in God's word, in the faith of God, you will find God, you will walk with God, you will be with God forever and ever. My first point is the fact that without his gospel, there is no power, there's no salvation, there is no knowing the truth. Point number two, without the good news, how will we know what can save us, who can save us? Jesus says, Jesus saves and his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. But without that good news, we don't know. There are hundreds and thousands of people. They don't know the good news. So how will they come to know what we know, who we know, until they hear that there is someone who saves, someone whose blood cleanses them from all of their sin? So without the gospel, there is no good news to tell that there is a need for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People won't know who to call upon. So you know what? Many people call upon Buddha, call upon Muhammad. People call upon John, I guess his last name is Jeffress, John Jeffress, one of the leaders of the Latter-day Saints. Of course, he's in prison now, but they're still following him. Mother Nature. People call upon Mother Nature. There's power in a tree. If you burn it, probably. See, there's many false truths. And I like this term false truths because to me, I see oxymoron. False truths. We ought to be living by the truth of the Word of God, applying it to our lives, applying it to our minds, allowing the truth of God, the Word of God, to affect our thoughts, our words, our actions, our imagining. I'm not sure, but I know there's been many times that people during the course of a sermon look out that window and start daydreaming. But even when you're daydreaming, what are you thinking of? God's word ought to affect all those areas of our life. And that is the truth that we are to be applying for, applying our lives for. But there are so many people that live after false truths. Number one, it's false. It's not true. Number two, it's not God's truth. It's false truths. And they live by this. And it's because they don't know the real truth. They don't apply their lives to the real truth. They won't be able to know who to call their whose name to call upon in order to be saved. Now, I asked some of you to raise your hand if you've ever read a newspaper. You know what a newspaper is. I found out this that I did not know, but in April 24, 1704, this was America's first continuously published newspaper called the Boston News Letter. Its first editor was John Campbell, printing the newspaper on what was then referred to as a half sheet. It originally appeared on a single page, printed on both sides, and issued weekly. In the first issue of the newsletter, there was only one advertisement. There was a bunch of news, but there was one advertisement. And it was mostly news from London, journals detailing English politics, European wars. The rest of the newspaper was filled with item listings, ship arrivals, deaths, sermons. That was good. I was like, ooh, sermons. Political appointments, fires, accidents, etc. Without any news, there was no need for a newspaper, right? If there was nothing new, there was nothing to tell, no stories, no fires, no sermons, what was the use of a newspaper? Why would they even think of making, producing, publishing a newspaper? Without any kind of news, good or bad, there would be no need for that. Now, I know that our media gets bad rap, rightly so, because it's their fault, for not reporting the truth. Somehow the truth has become distorted. It's now more, this is the way I see it. Oh, that's not the news. That's just like an editorial. That's just, you know, an op-ed. Well, it's become one-sided. It's become more for publicity than for information. It's become self-righteous, more political than non-biased truths. I'm talking about Fox News, too, because they do this as well. They have flaws, too. If our media can become straightforward with the people of this country and produce facts like they're supposed to, not just biases, they can and they will restore the trust of American people. Hopefully this happens sooner rather than later. So don't let media, the media you watch on TV, on your phones, on your computer, if those of you that still get newspapers, magazines, don't allow that stuff to bring fear upon you. For God's word tells us, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, so why allow fear to jump on your back and carry it wherever you go? Hold on to what God's word says. Hold on to that truth. Carry it with you. Again, let it affect your thoughts, your thinking, your imagining, your feelings, your emotions, your words, your actions. Apply God's word to your life. Let's go to the next slide. See, because it's God's mission. And with God, it is possible. With man, there are things that are impossible. You cannot walk through that wall. You might want to try. You'll hit sheetrock, but then you'll fall over. Busted nose. But God's mission is possible. So when missionaries, and I really just want you to just, hopefully you get this. But when missionaries sell their house, sell their cars, have a big, huge yard sale, and they take their family on the other side of the world, it's all because God has called them to a place. God has called them on a mission. God has called them to go. And if God has called them to go, God is calling people to send them. So if God is not calling any one of you to go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and sell it so that you can go to some place to share the good news of Jesus Christ, then it is all of our responsibility to send them. It's all of our responsibility, and it is a possible mission. So don't listen to that lie that, well, it's not for me. Well, it's really hard and it's impossible for me to send. No, it's not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. And if you go back to the fact that it is the gospel, it is the power, the driving force of missions, and what has the gospel done for you, and if the gospel has done anything for you, then you will see the importance, the necessity, the responsibility of helping the gospel do something to other people that don't know Jesus. Let's just look at the New Testament for a second. God spoke to angels and sent angels. On the day that the angels spoke to poor little shepherds that were in the field taking care of their sheep, God sent angels. Angels told the shepherds of what was to happen, and the angels sent the shepherds. News about a Savior was shared throughout the area. You know that prophecy was confirmed here? Eyewitnesses that saw what was spoken to them, they saw it, they became eyewitnesses. They continued to confirm the story and tell people throughout the land. God sent his son Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, sent 70 believers to tell the news that the kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is at hand. Prophecy was confirmed in this. Eyewitnesses, people that saw Jesus do the things that he did, and they went and became eyewitnesses and tellers of the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. The truth was proclaimed. Miracles were done. God sent his son Jesus. Jesus sent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit fills inside every believer and empowers every believer to go share the good news that Jesus saves. This still happens today. You know what? Prophecy continues. Prophecy of Joel chapter 2, that God will pour his spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters will be messengers of God, speaking and proclaiming the good news of God. Prophecy continues to be confirmed. Eyewitnesses of miracles confirm the truth, and we all become miracles. Now, if you don't know that you've ever seen a miracle, think of the day that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All of your sins wiped clean. That's a miracle. An old person, you, not because you're just old for your age, but the old person died that day. A new person came to life on that day. Again, if you can't say it is well with my soul, because you haven't had a day like that before, where you became a new creature in Christ, where old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. It can happen today, August 26th, 2018, can be your spiritual birthday, where you become a miracle. Become a miracle walking, an actual person who has experienced the miraculous, that you were once lost in your sin, now born again, cleansed. The Spirit of God living inside of this still happens today. This is why God's mission is possible, and it must become our mission. My last point is, without his messengers, how will his message get sent? Without the newspapers being published, how would anybody know what's going on? Without social media, how would teenagers know what's going on? How would adults, how would all of us know what's going on without us turning on the TV, turning on the computer, looking on our phone, finding out what's going on? How would we know? It brings me to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. You see, how do you hear of any kind of news? How do others hear about that news? Why do we allow ourselves to believe that it is okay to pass on this responsibility onto others? Why is it okay to be complacent that, hey, you know what? God's not sending me, and really it's not my responsibility to send anybody. How can you be complacent with that thought and yet still allow the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to affect and change you? Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him? Him is capitalized, and that means Jesus. How then shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him, in Jesus, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without someone sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? It continues and says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And I'll be honest with you, my feet aren't beautiful physically. But when we present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to those that don't know, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news, that bring that Jesus saves to those that don't know. If there is someone in here who says, hey, you know what, the Lord didn't send me, then the Lord didn't send you, the Lord's not sending you, then the Lord is calling you. The Lord is saying to you, it is your responsibility to send. That's all of us. Understand that it is all of us who are not being called to be his missionary to a certain land, to a certain city, to a certain part of the world, on the other side of the world. If he's not sending us, we have this responsibility of sending them. You know what gets me? There are some missionaries that I know, and I'm not sure if it's all missionaries, but there are some missionaries that I personally know. Do you know that they support missionaries? It is this person who sold their house, sold their car, and moved to a certain place with a different culture, different kind of food. I mean, different kind of, you know, the way of living, have to learn the language. And yet they find a missionary that they will faithfully support and they give. I mean, that really touches me. That causes me to be like, man, I can't pinch pennies and say, you know what, Oh, okay, he wants me to give to missions? All right, you know what? I'm just going to give a couple of cents here to missions. I gave, right? Pastor, you're telling us to send, so I'm sending. Is that what seriously, just be honest with yourself. How much is that, Jim, so you could tell everybody? How much is that?
12 cents.
Is that really what the gospel's worth to you, 12 cents? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I got a house. I understand. God understands. So here in a few moments, I'm not sure how many of you have already been praying or you haven't been praying, but these are just faith pledges. And this is the part that I don't really like, but this is the part where the responsibility is placed on you. Because I know, and God has touched my heart, and I believe that God has allowed me to hear the stories of missionaries that I know who that they've told us that they support a certain missionary. Not, you know, to be boastful or to, you know, just to look good, but they shared with us missions and how missions is their heart. They're not just telling a church like Hidden Treasures, hey, support us, send us to, you know, Africa, send us to Asia, but not realizing that the missionaries that we have on that board, the good majority of them that I know of, the good majority of them support missions themselves. You know what? Now, 12 cents, just knowing that, 12 cents makes me feel like that small. Now it's like, Lord, I'll get what? The whole bag in my left hand? Okay, Lord, I'll go ahead and give what you told me to give. So this is what these cards are for. You take them home and you pray and say, God, I ask that you show me how much to give. Don't look at your budget. Let me just challenge you. Don't look at your budget. You ask God, God, how much do you want me to give? Because if God puts a number on your heart, and God put that number on your heart. And don't say that it was Mexican, you know, yesterday. That was Mexican food. I don't know where that number came from. No. If God, you prayed and God told you and gave you a number, you go ahead and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to put faith in this pledge and I'm going to write this number down because I believe that's the number you told me to support missions. Now, if those of you have already, you've been praying, you already know. There's envelopes here, and there's a little information you can write down right in there. And you just, I will have the ushers come forward here in a little bit, and they'll just have a bucket right up here, and you can just put it in there, your faith pledge card or your envelope if you're ready to give. But understand this, missions is our responsibility. God does the miraculous. With God, things are possible.